certainly this has become a time of necessity for me, this Wednesday evening service. It helps me refocus in my day-to-day thinking and thought, a time of refreshing. I've enjoyed each minister that has come before us in during this time, and just would solicit your prayers for a few moments this evening, that the Lord would guide our mind, and want to go into the book of Exodus. Some thoughts that have come to my mind this evening concerning that is on our minds is people have told me that they believe God can do away with this pandemic if he wants to. And that attitude of thinking that if God wants to, that he'll do something is contrary to scripture, because God is always nigh. He is always, he does not want us to go through trials. He does not want us to go through tribulations. But I'm thankful this evening that when we have those, he goes through them with us and leads us through them. But the very person of God towards his people, we can see all the way back in the book of Exodus this evening. And the scripture that I have on my mind this evening is the 7th verse of the 3rd chapter of the book of Exodus. The 6th verse says, "Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God." God is talking directly to Moses. And the 7th verse says, "And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows." After the death of Joseph, that we read about in the 1st chapter of Exodus, it says the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceedingly mighty, and the land was filled with them. Well, it kind of scared the Egyptians at this time that there were so many of them, and they were afraid they were going to rise up, and there was more of the Israelites than there were Egyptians. And they came down upon the Israelites, as it says here, in, again, in the 1st chapter. Now there arose a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said unto his people, "Behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply and it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land." Therefore, they did set over them taskmasters. And over time, these taskmasters became more and greater in their how they treated the children. They caused them to work harder and harder and build these cities for Pharaoh. And they were in Egypt. The Israelites were in Egypt a total of 430 years, it tells us in the 12th chapter. And some conservative estimates think that Joseph probably died about 100 years before the Exodus. So there would be about a 100-year period of time where the Israelites are now under these taskmasters, under these building these things, and what was put upon them was being, it was greater and greater. And finally, here in that 3rd chapter, in that 7th verse, and he's calling Moses to lead his people out of Egypt. But it says here three things that the Lord said to Moses. The first thing says he's seen the affliction of my people. In the 34th Psalm, it tells us this, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. His omniscience, his all knowing all things, he sees all things, he's everywhere present, his omnipresence. He is among us, and he says his eye is continually on the righteous. He's watching over us. And right here he tells Moses that he has seen the affliction of his people. He's seen the affliction of his chosen. He's seen the affliction of the Israelite. He's seeing how they were being treated. And my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry. Now, we need to understand that God's ear is open unto our cry. It is He does not shut us out. He does not have hearing problems like some do. I'm told that I have a hearing deficiency in a certain area of my hearing, and that there's times where there's a wide range that I'm totally deaf in. But the Lord hears our cry. There's not a cry that we cry unto the Lord that he does not hear. But he also tells us about the hearing. There are certain things that he laid out over in 2 Chronicles 7:14 that God's people, he says, if my people that are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. You know, it makes me wonder here why after 100 years of them being under the taskmasters in Egypt, that the Lord is finally moving. Preacher out here in California, Elder John Wallace Thrower, he says the thing about prayer is prayer moves the hand of God. That we would offer up the prayer, the righteous prayer the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And so we have a God who sees us, who always knows. He saw the affliction. He saw the taskmasters, and he heard their cry, and the cry was by the reason of the taskmasters, how the taskmasters were treating them, how the taskmasters were continually adding burden to them to keep them. But it still says that they continued to multiply, and they can and see even in their burdens and even in our burdens, God was with them through all these times. So we have a God that is all seeing. We have a God that hears their cry, and it says that it finishes that in 2 Chronicles. Then will I hear from heaven. Then my son Keith would call me when I preached this one day. He says, Dad, you've become an if and then preacher. I says, well, that's what the scripture here tells us, that God would calls upon us to pray, calls upon us to cry out unto him, calls upon us that and not because he doesn't know our afflictions, because he says here he's seen the affliction, but he heard their cry by reason of the taskmasters. I says, and as we cry out, it tells us over in the book of Isaiah concerning prayer that he hears our prayer before we speak, and he answers that prayer while we're yet speaking. The purpose that we need to pray is that we would know what we are in need of. God knows what we need, but here he is telling Moses that he's heard the cry of his people. And the last one here is, says, for I know their sorrows. I know their sorrows. We have a Savior that is acquainted with grief. Says that in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. In Hebrews chapter 4, It talks about a high priest. We have not, we, and I'm going to turn over and read that in Hebrews chapter 4 concerning Jesus Christ, our high priest, that is, that knows our afflictions, is acquainted with our griefs, he knows our sorrows, but it says, seeing then we have a high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. He knows our sorrows. He knew the sorrows of the Israelites in Egypt. He knows our sorrows. He was tempted in all manner like we are. And it, but this is such a powerful scripture. It shows us here that it's not that he could, that he doesn't, he isn't touched, but it says here that he, we have not an high priest which cannot be touched. That's saying, brethren, that he is impossible. It is impossible for this one, this Jesus, our high priest, to be not be touched with our infirmities, because he, back over in the second chapter of the book of Hebrews, it tells us in the 18th verse, for in that he himself has suffered, being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. He is able to help us because he has been tempted. He's been tempted in what manner? He has been tempted, as it says in 1 John 2:16, and in all the world, it's the lust of the flesh. It's the lust of the eyes. It's the pride of life. These things are not of the Father, but they're of the world. And Jesus, he came into this world, condescended from glory, brought, set aside his glory, walked among us, went to that cross. And there was, but while he lived in this world, he suffered the things that we suffer. He was tempted of the things that we're tempted. But these things that we're tempted of, they're of the world. They're not of God. And he says he knows our sorrows. He's acquainted with our grief. He is able to succor us. He's able, and it's impossible. It cannot happen that he cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He knows our sorrows. He's experienced our sorrows. And he learned, it says he learned by the things that he suffered, that he knew that he would become that sacrifice for us. That he himself knew no sin, but became sin for us. So back in Exodus, the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people. His eyes are over us at all times. He looks upon us. He sees our affliction. He sees the very world we live in. He, and as we look at this evening with the thought that God can wipe away this pandemic, wipe away our troubles, wipe away our trials if he wants to. Brethren, I sat before you this evening. He wants to. He will do his will. According, in all things. But brethren, he requires of us to be interactive with him and pray and pour out and cry unto him. And he'll hear those things. And when we do in the manner that he tells us to in scripture, there in Second Chronicles, as Solomon talked with the Lord and went through all those things in the sixth chapter, and the Lord comes into summation in that Second Chronicles 7:14. Psalms tells us he sees our affliction. His eyes of the eyes of the Lord are always upon the righteous. He's He sees us in our afflictions. He hears us when we cry. He knows our sorrows. He's acquainted with our grief. And this is the God that we serve. This is the God of that was with those in Exodus as they were in Egypt, those 430 years. For about 300 of those years, they prospered because they had a good king. Joseph was over them and led them, and they prospered in that. And I think sometimes when God's people prosper so much and they get so comfortable in the lives that they live, and they start thinking to themselves, it's always going to be this way, that we're not going to suffer affliction. We're not going to need to cry unto the Lord. We can do it all on our own. But you see here what happened to the Israelites. And it didn't happen just here in Exodus. It happens throughout the history of the Israelites as they came out of Egypt and they went into that into the desert because they would not enter in because of their unbelief. This was a God who had led them through the desert, led them and delivered them from the bondage that they had in Egypt, and even to the point that they wanted to go back into Egypt because they thought it was better in Egypt under those taskmasters that God heard their cry from, that it would be better to be back there under their bondage than being in the Lord's hand to deliver them. Out there in the wilderness, they had those 40 years that they spent in the wilderness. It says that their shoes and their raiment did not wax old, and they were provided for in all things. And brethren, we have the same God today who provides for us with food and raiment therewith to be content. Let's keep our eyes focused this evening upon this great God who sees us and he knows and he hears us and he knows us in a manner that no one else does. He knows our needs before we even cry out. And brethren, he is ready, he's willing, and he's able to answer our and deliver us from these things that we just need to stop and ask him and with the fervency and looking and pressing toward that mark of Jesus Christ in our lives, not putting ourselves and as Brother John continually tells us out here, when we're in a situation like this, we're not fulfilling those things that God would have us to do, that we're not going out and being a blessing to somebody else. God will see us through this affliction that we're in right now. We just had a minor victory out here in California. We are now able once again to go out and meet in the church house that we haven't had for many, many months. There is some prayer being made. But let us continue to pray, because God, he sees our affliction. Don't you know, that he saw those three Hebrew children, as they, stood up, to that king, and he was not careful to answer, but as, they were in that fire, the king looked in and said, did not we cast three in? But there's a fourth in there, and he's as if he looks as if he's the Son of God. He knew, that king knew that, the Savior was in there, in that fire with him. He's in the fire with us. He goes through it with us because he's tempted in all manner. He knows how to help us, and he does help us. But we have that, and we have a place to go, brethren, when we need help. Back over to right there in the book of Hebrews where we were. It tells us that after that let us go, therefore, come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Brethren, that is where we need to go. We need to go directly to God, directly through our Savior Jesus Christ, praying in his name. He is that one that is touched with our infirmities, that one that knows our uprisings and our downfalling, that one who is acquainted with grief and with sorrow. Brethren, we have this one that loves us, and God has loved us with an everlasting love, and he draws us unto him. Let us set forth, if you were, the flint, and keep our eyes focused squarely upon him who is able to deliver us. And brethren, we're going to be delivered out of this present trouble, no doubt about it. And we're going to be ultimately delivered out of all our troubles, because we look forward to that great day, that time when Jesus comes back that second time without sin unto salvation, and take us home, and we'll be with him in glory. No more trials and troubles. But while we're here, we do have the throne of grace, a place to go in time of trouble, in time of when we need help. And we're a needy creature in need of help in our lives. So let's remember this great God, this the same God that was with them in the wilderness, the same God who watched over them those many years, and the same God that says he has seen the affliction of his people, which are in Egypt. Brethren, we are in Egypt. If you will, we are the spiritual Israelites living in the world that is full of temptations, full of the lust of the eyes, full of the lust of the flesh, full of the pride of life. But we have the same God today who saw his people in Egypt, and he sees us. We have the same God today that heard them and their cry by the reason of taskmasters. And brethren, we have a Savior that knows our sorrows. I hope I said something this evening to help someone. This scripture has been on my mind today. It's a great comfort to me, knowing that God surely sees us. He hears us, and he knows our sorrows. God bless y'all.